us tonight. And let's get the handouts passed, please, to everybody. Not on. Okay, sorry about that, Jacob. Thank you, sir. There's a new handout. We will pick up where we left off a couple of weeks ago. I felt like I rushed through the ending of the lesson on leading somebody personally to Jesus Christ, and especially the part at the very end of the presentation when you are encouraging them to go ahead and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. So I wanted to go back tonight and spend a little time in more detail on that, and maybe some other things as well as time permits. All right? If you'd like a handout to keep along, fill in the blank, I don't think I'll need to refer to it. I think you'll be able to follow along. It's pretty plain, pretty simple as we go around. All right? Anybody else want one? Okay. Keep your hand up just for a second. We're in good shape. Ushers, thank you. That was real quick. Father in heaven, we're grateful tonight for the good music. Lord, thank you for the trials of life. We don't enjoy them. They're not always pleasant. But Lord, they do many times bring us out better than when we went in. Thank you for loving us enough to purge us. Help us tonight, Lord, please. I pray that we would be diligent in the matter of witnessing to coworkers or neighbors or relatives or friends or just people we meet, come into contact with through something that is said. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be diligent to witness and help us to, Lord, know, be prepared the best we can be. And then, of course, we know that salvation is from you through the work of the Spirit in the heart. Help me tonight to be a blessing in Jesus' name and amen. Now, look with me again at verse 9 and 10 of Romans chapter 10. We get down to verse 9 and 10. This is where we're talking to them about how do you receive the gift of eternal life. Okay? Remember, we've showed them, according to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, that not everybody is going to heaven. Okay? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the Bible makes it clear that there are some who will not go to heaven. So how do you get your name in the book of life? Well, remember that eternal life is a gift. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Okay? A gift must be received. If you offer a gift to your grandson or to anybody and they reject it, they say, I don't want it, you don't chase them around and make them take it. Okay? A gift must be received. It's an act of the will on the person to whom the gift is for. They got to receive the gift. And so how do you receive the gift of eternal life? And if you remember from the last couple slides, a couple weeks ago, verses 9 and 10, we're going to emphasize the words heart and mouth. Mouth and heart. Believe and receive. Watch it here, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I say to the person, all right, what these verses are teaching us is that you must first of all believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died, was buried, and rose again. You need to believe that, the Bible says, in your heart. Now, you know what? I usually say to them, now, you know what? I can't know what's in your heart. And you don't know what's in my heart, but God knows what's in all of our hearts. So you got to believe this with all of your heart. And folks, I don't mind saying that. You know, you say it like it makes it sound like you're telling them if you really mean it with all your heart. Yes, it's exactly what Philip told the eunuch in Acts chapter 8. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. You got to be sincere about this, okay? You got to mean business about this. So if you believe in your heart, all of these things, you're not good enough to get to heaven. And Jesus died for you so that you can go there and you can be saved by trusting Him. If you believe that in your heart, then the next thing is with your mouth to make confession. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So it's more than just a mental acknowledgement, a mental affirmation. It's a heart belief that leads to a mouth confession. God, I admit to you that I'm a sinner. God, I admit to you that I deserve the wages of sin. God, I admit to you that I cannot get myself to heaven. And I believe that Jesus died for me and that He was buried and rose again to pay for my sin debt. And I believe if I trust Him that He'll save me. And so God, now I ask you please for the gift of eternal life. You're supposed to tell God what you believe in your heart. Well, God already knows it. God wants to hear you say it. God wants to hear you say it. So that's what I'm emphasizing when I get down to Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then if we believe in our heart, and then with our mouth we call the promise in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right. Now, I didn't bother with going to John 1:12 like I did 2 weeks ago. And that's where receive and believe. If you believe and receive, you become a son of God. You're born to God. So now, you've given them the plan of salvation, and you've told them that they need to believe this with all of their heart, and then they must ask for it. So now, how are you going to draw the net to ask to, you know, hopefully lead them to trust Christ as their Savior? Four steps. And one of them is coming to church, but the first three have to do with talking to them. Review by asking a series of questions. Review by asking a series of questions. That's number one. Here are the questions I would ask them. First of all, do you believe what the Bible says? Now, folks, let me tell you right now that if they answer in the negative, they say, you know, I just don't believe the Bible. I don't believe in the, how in the world are they going to be saved? The message of salvation is in the Bible. Okay? Now, once again, you don't have to get into great theological dissertation with them. Okay? We're talking about the simple things that pertain to salvation. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the sin nature, those type of things. Do you believe what the Bible says? Yes, I do. All right? Do you believe you are a sinner? Yes, I do. Do you believe you cannot be good enough to get to heaven? Yes, I do. I believe that. Do you believe Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to pay your sin debt? Why do you include the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Because that's the power of God unto salvation. It's the gospel. Okay? So that's why. So I'm asking them these questions. Do you believe what the Bible says? Yes, I do. Do you believe you're a sinner? Yes. Do you believe you cannot be good enough to get to heaven? Yes, I know that. Do you believe Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to pay your sin debt? Yes, I do. Okay, now I'm going to get to talking to them about matters of the heart. I'm going to talk to them about matters of the heart. All right, now I'm going to turn this personal. All right, do you need to trust Christ as Savior? Do you need to trust Christ as Savior? Hopefully, the response is yes. Yes, I do. Okay? Do you want to trust Christ as Savior? Do you want to? I'm not going to twist their arm. I'm not going to force them to, you know, pray a prayer. I'm not going to have them repeat a prayer after me like a parrot. Okay? Do you want to do this? Do you want to trust Christ as Savior? Okay? Is there anything that would keep you from trusting Christ as your Savior? Anything that would keep you from trusting Christ as your Savior? No. And these are questions I asked the last person that I led to the Lord. Do you need to trust Christ as Savior? Yes, I do. Do you want to trust Christ as Savior? Yes, I do. Is there anything that would keep you from trusting Christ as Savior? No, there's not. And then I asked them the fourth thing is, do we have to be in church to pray? Because some people have that mindset. Do we have to be in church to pray? Most of the time they'll say no. And I'll say, no, we don't. So we can pray right now. And if you pray to God and ask Him to save you, God will hear you. And so I usually will then say, if it's where we can. Now, again, if it's where we can, I like to have the person kneel. You know, I just think there's something about kneeling that's a sign of submission. And maybe not. A sign of humility. Now, if we're, obviously, if we're outside, standing on the porch, or if you're sitting, you know, at the lunch table, work with a guy, you may not want to kneel. And I don't believe the posture of the body has a whole lot to do with the posture of the heart. But I do think where it's possible, it just puts them in the frame of mind of praying and being serious about it. So I'll say, let's kneel here by the couch. Let's kneel here by the table. Let's kneel down together, and I want to help you know what to say to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. So that's what I'll say to them after I show them the plan of salvation. I go through those series of questions, and then I ask these questions. Do you need? Do you want? Is there anything that would keep you from trusting Christ? Do we have to be in church to pray? Okay. Then I explain how I will lead them in a short prayer. I'll say, okay, do we have to be in church to pray? No, we don't have to be in church to pray. So here's what I want to do. We're going to have prayer. We're going to get on our knees and we're going to pray. I'm going to pray for you first. Let me pray for a little bit first. I'm going to pray for you. And then I want you, if you believe that Jesus died, loves you, and wants to save you, and you want Jesus to save you, I want you to tell God that. A lot of times, they'll stop you right there and say, I've had them say, I haven't prayed much. I'm not sure what to say. So I will say to them, now, I'm going to pray first and then I'll have you pray. And if you don't know what to say, I'm going to help you with some words that you can say. But you can't repeat them like a parrot. You can't just say them. So you're emphasizing that, okay? Explain how you lead them in a short prayer. All right? And then here's what you want to do. Make sure you tell them it must come from their heart. Okay? Make sure you tell them it must come from their heart. Now, this prayer's got to come from your heart. Okay? They are praying to God, not you. You're not going to pray to me. I can't do anything for you. I've done all I can do for you by showing you how to be saved. You want to be saved now? God's going to have to do it. So you're not going to pray to me. You're praying to God. All right? Then I remind them that God has promised to hear and answer when a person calls on Jesus for salvation. That's His promise. God's promised that. And then I'll lead them in praying a simple prayer asking for salvation. So I'll say, okay, let's pray. I'll pray first. Dear Father, thank You for this opportunity to show Jim how to be saved. Lord, He's been kind. He's been courteous to allow us to be here for several minutes and show him the Scriptures about salvation. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that You will convict his heart and show him his need of salvation and draw him to Jesus Christ, and that Jim will trust the Lord Jesus to save him. Now, Jim, if you want to trust Christ as your Savior, here's a prayer that you can say in your heart to God. And then I'll lead him in a simple prayer. Dear God, simple prayer. Dear God, Thou that sittest upon the throne of heaven and overseest all the angelic realm. That's not, you know, okay? No. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I've sinned against You. I deserve the wages of sin, and I cannot get myself to heaven. But I do believe that Jesus died for me, and I want to be saved. And so right now I ask You to save me from my sin. And I give them a few seconds to repeat. Sometimes they pray out loud. Sometimes they pray silently. Whether they pray silently or publicly, when they finish, when we finish with the sinner's prayer, I'll just immediately start praying again. Lord, thank You for Jim's decision to trust Christ as Savior. Help him to grow in grace. Thank You, Jesus, for loving us enough to die for us. And then right before I close the prayer, I'll say, Jim, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it with all your heart, would you shake my hand as a sign of it? Like I said a couple weeks ago, there's nothing more wonderful than feeling them, you know, when you sense that they're feeling to shake your hand. That's a great thing. And they'll grip it, and then I say, God bless Jim, in Jesus' name, amen. So that's really, I just wanted to kind of go over that again because I felt like I rushed through it here a couple weeks ago. These are just some things that I say, okay, in the process of helping them trust Christ as their Savior. Now, there are some groups out there, they will say that you cannot lead them in a prayer. If you have to lead them in a prayer, they don't want to be saved. You know, I just don't know if I go that far, folks. Some of these, look, you know, we used to be a Christian nation, and everybody used to know how to pray a little bit. I'm not sure we're a Christian nation anymore. And you're talking with a lot of people out there who don't know the first thing about talking to God. First thing about it. Okay? So, you know, I'm not buying into that. You know, all I know is Peter went to Cornelius' house, and I know, you know, that all that different time and all that different. But I want to lead them in praying a simple prayer, asking for salvation. I don't want to bring them right to the doorstep and then just leave them there without helping them across that threshold, if I can. Okay? So, simple prayer. No pressure. No pressure. No pressure. I do not appreciate that. I do not. Now, I might say to them, look, are you sure you want to put this off? If they say, you know, I'm just not ready. I might say to them, you sure you want to put this off? Bible says we don't know if we're going to have tomorrow. You sure you want to put it off? If they're not ready, I'm not going to have them just pray a prayer for the sake of praying a prayer. All right? So you just got to be careful. But I believe in that, leading in a simple prayer, asking for salvation. After the new convert receives Christ as their Savior, express your excitement for them, okay? Smile, all right? Be happy for them. It is a happy time, man. I was happy when I got saved. And, you know, you don't have to be crazy, but just tell them, man, that's the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. I'm so happy that you've trusted. And mean it, and you should be able to mean it, okay? So express your excitement and rejoice with them after they pray to receive Christ as Savior. Now, next thing you want to do, and they'll usually give you time for this, is you want to give them assurance of salvation. I don't even hesitate. I'll say, now look, now that you've trusted Christ as your Savior, let me show you a few things here, okay? It's very easy to give assurance of salvation. Assurance of salvation can be explained to a person from three simple verses. You don't have to use them all, but you just need to know that they're there and available, and they're good verses to use for assurance, okay? Here's the one that you're already in Romans chapter 10, so that's where I start. Show them Romans chapter 10, verse 13. You've already showed them the verse. So I say something like this. Here's a verse we just read a moment ago. Look at it with me. Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'll ask them, Does the Bible say, whosoever? Does that include everybody? That includes everybody. All right. Does the Bible say maybe, hope to be, or might be? And I'm holding the New Testament where they can see it. Does the Bible say maybe, hope to be, or might be? No. The Bible says shall be. This is the promise of God for anyone who calls on Jesus. This is God's promise. And I usually ask them, can God lie? And I've never had anybody tell me yes. So I've always had everybody, no, God can't lie. And this is His promise. This is a promise of God. If you call on Christ to save you, the Bible says God will save you. Okay? Then I say this. I say, you know what? There's an even better one over here in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Okay? 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And I'll take them there in my New Testament. I love these two verses. I'll turn there quickly. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. You know them. I'm pretty sure you might be familiar with them. Okay? And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I break that down for him. I say, okay, let me ask you a few questions. These are not trick questions. I'll say, okay, record is, I'm looking for that thing. That's such a small dot. Record means that which is written down, like at a courthouse, recorded. Okay? And this is the record. This is what has been written down. Okay? Verse number 11. God hath given to us eternal. All right? You stop on the word eternal. What does eternal mean? It means forever. Okay? So God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. His Son. Capital S. And I said, now look, this is not a trick question. Who is the only begotten, capital S, Son of God? 99% of the time they're going to say, Jesus. Jesus. So the Bible says, if you have Jesus, you have life. Look at the next verse. Verse number 12. He that hath the Son hath life. So God has given us this eternal life that's forever. This life is in His Son, Jesus. And if you have Jesus, you have life. If you do not have Jesus, you do not have life. And then I'll ask them the question, do you have Jesus? Well, yes. When did you get Jesus? Yes, just a moment ago, when you prayed. You asked the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. Was that the promise of God, that He would give you salvation? Yes, He would. Okay? Eternal life is in Jesus. So if you have Jesus, you have eternal life. I love those two verses. I think they're great verses. But there's also one more that you can turn to if you have the time. And that's John 28, where God talks about His sheep. My sheep hear My voice and so forth. Okay, in John chapter 10. Then He says in verse number 28 that God gives His sheep three things. Here it is. God gives His sheep eternal life. God gives His sheep eternal life. Number two, they shall never perish. Okay, God gives them eternal life, and because they have eternal life, they shall never perish, never die and go to hell. Never perish. And the Bible says no man can pluck them out of His hand. You're in the hand of Jesus. And by the way, the next verse says that no man can pluck them out of His Father. He's in His Father's hand. But that's just verse 28. Okay? So this is some verses that you can share with them that will help give them the assurance of salvation. I've trusted Christ. God's not a liar. It's not maybe, might be, or hope to be. It shall be. And if eternal life is in Jesus and I have Jesus, then I have eternal life. And God gives His people eternal life. They shall never perish. No man can pluck them out of His hand. Those are three good verses to use for giving somebody the assurance of their salvation. Okay? Now, at this point in time, I'm pretty much done. If they've given me how much time I've wanted, probably been in the house 40 or 45 minutes. Okay? I might go into trying to get them to church or get them to the new converts class. And by the way, folks, let me just remind you, because we have some confusion once in a while. You men that work as ushers on Sunday morning, the new converts class is not for first-time visitors to our church. The beginning my journey class is for folks who have been saved and or new members, and we've invited them in to the class. New visitors need to go to whatever class they fit in. Brother Larry's, Brother Tom's, Brother Mike's, Brother Greg's, Jesse's, Wayne's, or Jeff Reardon's. Just a first-time visitor, adult visitor that shows up to church, you don't know if they're saved or not, they really go into a normal Sunday school class. Ours is the oddball Sunday school class, okay? And, you know, ours is kind of a specific class for people we know have been saved, okay? And they're starting and beginning my journey in Christian growth. And so I'll try to, now, I'll talk a little bit about, oh yeah, and I might say to them, look, remember we've been talking about being born again? I forgot about this slide. Remember we've been talking about being born again. Let me ask you a question. How long will you be the son or daughter of your parents? Well, forever. Yeah, even though you're a grown adult, you're still the son or daughter of your parents. Now, if you'll be the son or daughter of your parents forever, how long will you be the son or daughter of your Heavenly Father? You were born to God. Just like your kids are born to you, and you were born to your parents, now you're born to God. And that's a relationship that lasts forever. Born again. I don't know how people who don't believe in eternal security, I don't know how they get past that one point right there. You're born to God. Born. His DNA is in you, in the person of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So you're born to God forever. So that's kind of what I go through. Now, how to get a convert to church. And I'll tell you what, it's about, unfortunately in some cases, it's just about that hard. Okay? I don't know why, but people are just not reared in church. People not reared with a church foundation and anymore. And it's not just here. It's everywhere I go. I talk to pastors and I said, you know, one of the toughest things is getting them to church. So, let me just leave you with some things, some ideas. I'm not going to teach on these. These are just ideas about how to get people to church. After he has trusted Christ as his Savior, been shown the assurance of salvation, it is important that he be told how to grow in Christ, okay? There are three essentials for spiritual growth in one's life. Daily Bible reading. I think that's a fill in the blank on what you have halfway down. Daily Bible reading, daily prayer, and faithful church attendance. So I'm going to really try now to get them to church. I'm not really trying to get them to read their Bible yet or even pray daily yet. The first thing I'm going to try to do is get them to church, get them to our Beginning My Journey class, the new converts class, okay? And so this is what I'm going to try to do, all right? Here are 10 simple ways to get your convert to church or to try to get a convert to church, okay? 10 simple ideas to use to get somebody to come. Invite them to a specific Sunday, okay? From time to time, we got one coming up this Sunday, Mother's Day. If you've led somebody to Christ, a lady, you haven't had any success in getting them to church, they're a mother, say, hey, man, we're celebrating Mother's Day. I know some weeks ago, some months ago, you got saved. We're having Mother's Day. Now, look, folks, you say, you know what? I really believe if they got saved, they would come to church the next day and they wouldn't get out of church. All right? Let me dispel that a little bit. Okay? Jessie's in the nursery tonight. I saw her earlier. Luke's dad and mom. Frank and Jesse got saved in February. End of January, 1st of February, I tried to get them to church. And they didn't come, and they didn't come, and they didn't come. But then it was Easter Sunday. And I went by and said, would you come Easter Sunday? Everybody goes to church on Easter. Would you come Easter Sunday? And they said, okay. And they came. And they didn't come on Sunday night. They came back the next Sunday morning. And that started a pattern. Several Sunday mornings, all of a sudden it turned into Sunday nights. And then God Save America Conference, and they went to that. And then they were in Lock, Stock, and Barrel. And have been. So, you know, sometimes they may not come immediately, but you invite them to a specific Sunday. Mother's Day, Father's Day, I Love Israel Sunday, Easter Sunday. Invite them to a specific Sunday where we have something, you know, a little extra special going on. Okay? Step number two, offer to give them a ride. You know, maybe just, if you had a car like that, they would all come. Amen? So offer to give them a ride. I don't even know what kind of car that is, Brother Payne. You know what model that is? I can't make out that insignia. What? Puget? Puget. Oh, that's terrible. A European car? I'm sorry. X that one out, all right? Offer to give them a ride. Bring them in your truck. Your American-made truck, all right? All right. The car looks cool, though. You got to say that, okay? Offer to give them a ride. Say, hey, can I come by and pick you up tomorrow? Okay? Some of you, and you may not remember this fella, right out here, east of Highway 50, that little subdivision to the north of Armor Road over there, and had those great big things in his ears. I mean, great big things in his ears. Huge. And studs everywhere. And when I said, hey, he prayed and trusted Christ as a Savior, I said, can I pick you up for church tomorrow? He said, yes. And he came here a few weeks, and then his mother took him to another church in town where they play contemporary music, and we lost him. You know? But I don't know what to do, folks. I'm not going to attract them with rock and roll. I'm not going to attract them with rock and roll. You know, it's amazing to me how these parents are not involved until you bring them to church, and all of a sudden they want them to go to this crazy place. All right, but anyway, he came with me. I just said, can I come pick you up? Offered to give him a ride, okay? They need some help. Offered to bring some donuts and milk to the house for breakfast. I've done that on several occasions over the years. Gone by, you got, especially if they got kids. Hey, can I do something for you? You know, do your kids like donuts and chocolate milk? Everybody likes donuts and chocolate milk, right? And don't get them white milk, get them chocolate milk, amen? And, you know, and say, look, can I, so get a half a dozen donuts or a dozen donuts, you know, $5, $6, $8. It's a small price to try to invest in converts to get them to come to church. And say, look, I'll come by 8:30, 9 o'clock. Will you be up? Yeah, we'll be up. Let me drop off some donuts. Dropped off the donuts to people and had them come to church later, okay? So offered to bring some donuts and stuff. All right, warn them of hindrances that could keep them from coming. All right, 2 Corinthians 2:11 talks about Satan getting an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Just say, look, you know what, things are going to... Yeah, you know what, I'm coming tomorrow. Now look, you know what, I'm glad you promised to come tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you something, the devil's not happy that you got saved. And he's probably going to throw a roadblock in your path in coming to church tomorrow. Probably going to have something come up. The alarm won't go off. Or something will happen. Set 2 alarms, whatever you need to do. But you can just kind of warn them about hindrances that could keep them from coming. Give them a gift, okay? It doesn't have to be fancy, folks. Just a small gift. Give them a little gift, you know, maybe something that you've got sitting around the house that somebody gave you that's just taking up space, okay? And have it for them. Give them a gift. Contact them by phone on Sunday morning. Boy, that's important. Call them on Sunday morning and say, hey, man, you going to be able to make it? Brother Mick came down a couple weeks ago, and he was disgusted because he thought he had people lined up to be in church. He called them on Sunday morning, didn't you? And said, you know, they said they're not, something came up and they're not coming. But contact them by phone on Sunday morning. Contact them, okay? Explain the Sunday morning events to them. I'm finding out that that's important to people. People who have never been in a Baptist church, they kind of like to, well, what's it going to be like? And so I may say that if they promise they're going to come, I'll say, no, you'll come in the foyer, get there about 10 minutes till 10. I stay in the foyer till 5 till 10. You come at 10 till 10. I can show you where the class is. We can get your kids in the Sunday school class. And then we're going to have our class. Then we're going to go downstairs in the auditorium for church. And your kids are going to stay in their classes over in the gym. And we'll have a good morning. So you kind of explain the Sunday morning events to them. Invite them to lunch after the service. Several of you have done this. Hey, come over for a sandwich, or let me take you for a sandwich. You can offer to buy them lunch after the service, okay? Or just invite them to your house for lunch after the service. If they cannot come on a specific Sunday, get a commitment for a future service, okay? So they can't come on that first Sunday, how about next week? Or how about, you know, when can you come? When is the first? And you know what you're going to run into? I know you know this. You're going to run into a lot of people who have regular scheduled work on Sunday. Regular scheduled work. So when can you come? Well, I work 2 Sundays and I'm off 1. Can you come then? And try to plan it and get it nailed down, okay? And then above all, pray for them. Ask God to bring them to church, okay? Philippians 1:4, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. So you pray for them. Now, I rushed through that ending of how to lead somebody to the Lord last 2 weeks ago, and I wanted to go back, also give these ideas. But very encouraged, at the response of the church. I think I told somebody up in Canada, somebody was talking to me about how things were going. And I said, you know, we had 3 special Sundays, and that first Sunday we didn't have any guests, any first-time visitors, and I think it kind of shocked everybody. We've had a special Sunday, and we don't have 1 visitor here. And since that time, I sat up in the battle on Sunday night, and since that time, the soul-winning attendance has increased. It's been very strong. And I appreciate that. I still believe the more people we put out on the streets, the more people God's going to bring in. It's obedience, folks. And God's looking to invest, okay? Why would God send somebody who wants to be saved to a church who's not concerned about people getting saved? God's not going to do that. So we have to show an interest, and it has to be heartfelt. It has to be sincere. And so if you would, you know, make it a priority to spend a couple of hour and a half or so out, you know, we don't go forever. You know, we left last night at 7:15, Brother Harold and I. I think we pulled in the parking lot, maybe 8:05, something like that. We were going about 1 hour and 20 minutes. Starting to get dark, and we didn't want to make another new call, so we came on in. I think we were probably one of the last groups in last night. It's not 2 or 3 hours. It's about 1 hour, 1.5 hours. And just come and go with us. If you've not ever been, we can have somebody that knows what to say, go with you. And the biggest thing is just getting consistent at it. It's just so hit and miss. But you know, you're gonna do what you make a priority to do. You're gonna do what you make a priority to do. And this ought to be a priority. It's supposed to be a priority for the Sunday school teachers, okay? We ask the Sunday school teachers to find a time, you know, and we're not hard on that. If you have a week that you can't get out, make a call, send some postcards. But to have Sunday school teachers that don't make any contacts, that doesn't fit our philosophy. That doesn't fit our philosophy. So look, we may not have the droves and the numbers, you know, listen, in Canada, I'll be done here. We're in good time. 472 registered kids. I bet you there was 150 to 175 minorities. Asians, Vietnamese, Filipinos, South Koreans. The brown-skinned people is where the harvest field is. It's where it is. I told you that before. Any church in Europe that's growing is not reaching Europeans. They're reaching immigrants. They're reaching Sudanese. And Muslims in some cases that aren't the crazy kind. Okay? They're reaching, the brown-skinned people is where the harvest is. It's all over the world. It's Philippines. It's Hispanics growing. And churches that have an outreach to those. So, you know, we may not, and very few European churches are reaching Europeans. Very few. So we got to understand, I don't have a problem. I understand the harvest. You know, it may not be that main harvest amongst the Caucasian people now, but there are still Caucasian people who want to be saved. And you run into brown-skinned people who really are interested. You know, folks, did you, and I was thinking tonight when I was watching the elementary choir sing up here, do you understand, do you see, those of you who have been around for a while, that the Hispanics are where we were 40 years ago. They're excited about church. They're excited about bringing their friends to church. They're excited about the Christian schools. They are where we are. And now it's, Christian schools. So I put them in public school. I don't care. We didn't have that attitude 40 years ago. You couldn't build Christian schools fast enough. And we're not better for it. We're on the as Caucasian people. The brown-skinned people where we were 40 years ago. They're excited. They're pumped. They're excited about the Lord. And look, but there's still Caucasian people that will get saved if we go after them. And God blesses the efforts. And we just got to make it a priority to witness. To witness wherever we go, when we go. And the best way to do it is to make some time on a weekly basis, prioritize it, and say, this is going to be, I'm going to give this time to going out and trying to find somebody to witness to. And if God leads me across somebody's path, amen. And if He doesn't, at least I was obedient. And God blesses obedience. And God will bless our church for it. And He will. And we're going into summertime. And it's light in the evening. And people are out. I hope that you'll be faithful. I hope that you'll be faithful. Let's be careful to do that. Let's stand. Thank you for being here tonight. Father in heaven, please bless us. Help us. Thank you for the privilege of witnessing and telling folks about salvation in Jesus. Thank you for the person that told us about Christ. Thank you for giving us eternal life as a free gift. And I pray, God, we would make it a priority to be faithful to tell others. Please, Lord, from time to time, lead us across the path of somebody who is looking to be saved. Somebody whose heart has been challenged in the matter of their eternal destiny. Lord, help us and make us a soul-winning people and at least a witnessing people. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just a verse of invitation and we'll head on here.